This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get to the Central Regional Reports with AMI Content Development Specialist Karen McGee, who joins us from Morrisburg, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Karen. How you doing?
I'm doing well, David. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. You called me David, so it means I could be in trouble.
Yeah, you don't do that. I usually don't do that. Sorry.
You and John Melville and also our CEO and boss, David Arrington, also calls me David, and my mom and my sister do. So you're in good company. Karen, let's jump into the first story you've got here. A student from Algonquin College has created an initiative called Footwear for Kids. So tell us about William Borgo and what he's doing to give back to the community.
So William is a police foundation student. He was looking for a place to donate some shoes that fit anymore. You know, last year we were all going through the purge phase of our lives. Oh, yeah. We were getting rid of everything. I can't count the number of trips I made to Value Village to drop off stuff. So he knew a couple places that took clothes, but there wasn't a place specifically that specialized in shoes in the Ottawa area. So he started something called Footwear for Kids, and that's the number 4 in there, not the letter. Not the letters, not spelled out. So according to the press release from Algonquin College, Footwear for Kids provides footwear for children, youth, and families in need, including newcomers to Canada, those who are fleeing domestic violence and abuse, and those experiencing homelessness. And other things too, like job loss, house fire, that sort of thing. So the volunteers with the organization have two main goals: to pick up donations, which includes sorting and packaging them, and delivering them to families. So after a year, it's made really great progress. They operate out of the Caldwell Family Center in Ottawa. They have 13 volunteers, 4 family support workers, and 1 family advisor. Last year, they collected 1,500 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
Which means they were able to help about 400 people. That's a lot in a year. It's like more than a pair a day. I think it's like, if I do the math quickly, it's like 4.5 pairs a day, let's say.
Yeah, so 4.5 pairs. So it's 4 plus 1 extra shoe. Then where those other
halves
go.
That was in my head.
Yeah, it's like socks, you know? Sometimes they get a little mismatched and gone away. Karen, this is a really great initiative. It's a great idea. How can people donate or get involved?
So they're looking especially for sneakers for kids and youth. They accept donations of newer, gently used shoes, and they'll pick them up from your home. So there's no work on your part. Just kind of leave them on your porch. They are looking for volunteers to collect and distribute, and you can find out more at www.footwear4k.com. If you're looking for footwear as well, you can reach out to them on the website and apply for there. They get a lot of referrals from different community organizations in Ottawa, but you're more than welcome to reach out to them if you need some help. And this can be anything from like footwear for kids having sneakers for gym class to people going for job interviews.
Karen, a bit more of a somber story here, but one with a positive bent, remembering some of the amazing work done by Gladys Wincup, who passed away earlier this month in Ottawa. She was an advocate for persons with developmental disabilities. What is Gladys best remembered for?
So Dave, I'm not sure if you remember. I know we had conversations about this in the office. It was big news in Ottawa when it happened, and it kind of spread across the rest of the company. So back for 35 years, like post 2015, there was a program in Ottawa that provided jobs for people with developmental disabilities. There were some controversies around the program because it was very low paying. It worked out to $1.15 an hour. But that was supplemented by their ODSP. It's a long story how things work in Ontario, but they couldn't make more than that at the time without losing some of their benefits. The participants shredded papers for library archives in Canada. So in 2015, there were plans to close this program down. This program did not cost the government a lot of money. Gladys, who'd been with the program for 35 years at that point, was very vocal about how important it was to her and her coworkers to keep the program going. I actually did a little digging and found the Ottawa Citizen article from 2015, and the quote from Gladys that I loved was then that, I loved working there, she says. It was a nice job and we get paid for it. I liked everything about the job. All the people I work with, I like very much. They are all my friends. So that initial story really took off. Gladys was front and center when the program was reestablished, and she told the Ottawa Citizens that she was thrilled to be working again and not just sitting around.
Yeah, I mean, to be candid, Karen, like there's some complexities to this story, but certainly it was meaningful for the people who were doing the gig. So definitely it was something that did come top of mind and something we did talk about in the office on the regular. The program was on the bubble again in 2019. Were they able to save it again?
Again, Gladys to the rescue. Every article I saw, she was front and center. Her picture on the front page, quotes from her. This time the program was actually disbanded and it was rebranded calling People Offering Dumpster Diversion, so P-O-D-D pod. So this new program, instead of shredding paper, was diverting waste for salvage or resale and also salvaging recyclable components. And the good part about this is the workers were now paid minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So in the new program, this is what I love about this. Gladys was 69 at the time, still working, started off pulling staples out of cubicle walls. And she saw people using drills and she wanted to learn how to do that. So at 69, she learned how to use a drill and sort of continued working from there. The Ottawa Citizen does this really great thing, and a lot of people across country do it, where they do obituaries for people who've made an impact, people we may not hear about every day, but people who've made an impact for the community. And this was, you know, half a page obituary to Gladys. And she died as a result of a fall, and she's going to be sorely missed by her coworkers. But it was sort of a nice memory of something, somebody who gave a lot, was very passionate, and believed in what she wanted to do and sort of fought for that. And like you said, there was a lot of complexities about this program, but you know, in 2019, I think they did the right thing and paying people a minimum wage, and it made a difference, I think, in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. That's fundamental, right? That's the important part of this update in 2019, to ensure that minimum wage was paid to people with disabilities, because there's a reason why it's called the minimum wage, right? Whatever complexities exist inside ODSP and however the provinces want to mess up their own disability supports, the idea that you're going to have somebody work for you and not pay the minimum wage because they have a disability is a huge, huge problem. So that's one of the things that I think is so important here, that her advocacy was not just about her, it was about improving the program for everybody. So many kudos, and certainly Gladys will be missed. Karen, you wanted to pick up on something that I mentioned in our accessibility story roundup about an hour ago, where we were talking about housing prices, accessible housing, where those are intersecting right now, and basically the crisis that it feels like we're on the precipice of. You wanted to make mention of your small Ottawa community or Ottawa area community that's also a suburb, a good way away from the core of the city.
It's Ottawa adjacent. We're not part of Ottawa yet. Watch yourself. Check yourself in.
Sorry,
it's coming.
Karen.
You can see the rural sprawl coming out. So my town is 2,200 people. I live outside of the town, so I don't actually live directly in Morrisburg. I live in South Dundas. I live in the county, but we say Morrisburg. There was a house down the road from us. And keep in mind, when we bought our house here, we paid under $200. It's a four-bedroom house, one and a half bathrooms, you know, refinished, like refurbished old farmhouse. It's on 3/4 acre. House down the road, like five houses down, 3 acres. 2 bedrooms, small kitchen, I think 2 bathrooms. It's a ranch split. $399 was the asking price. It sold for $525 to people from Southern Ontario.
Wow.
And what's happening is we need to start looking for other accommodations because my husband has some health issues. We need a bungalow. And you can't find them. So everybody's like, sell your house now, sell your house now. There's nowhere to live. I checked this morning. There's one place in town in Morrisburg. It's a townhouse. Starting price is $189, but it has that little coddle still in the posting. We will look at all offers on this day.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're starting low and hoping to get high, but I've never seen anything like this. Like when we were looking for a house, we took our time because we wanted to find the right place. We were looking at 3 or 4 houses a weekend.
Yeah. And Karen, just to give people a little more context here, again, when I point to Smiths Falls, which is about an hour outside of Ottawa to the west, Morrisburg, if you want to drive, not take public transportation, if you want to drive from Morrisburg to downtown Ottawa, that's what, an hour, hour and 15?
In no traffic, it's an hour. I can do it in an hour. To get to work downtown, you're looking at an hour and a half.
Yeah. So
during rush hour, in normal times. But you and I spend a lot of time looking at real estate. I'm in the Ottawa. Always on our breaks, though, if Andy or John or Keith are listening.
It never affected productivity. Affected productivity in the Ottawa Bureau when you and I would spend time on realtor.ca.
Nope, never. But like I keep looking every once in a while. So, you know, it becomes a choice that a lot of Canadians are having to make right now. Like, do we renovate our home to make it more accessible? But have you seen the price of wood?
Yeah.
Like plywood is $100 for a sheet of plywood. $97 at Home Depot. What do you do?
Yeah, no, we are on the precipice of what could be a real crisis here if we're not already in the crisis. And it's one that deserves a lot more attention and a lot more thought. And I don't know that it's necessarily getting it. Karen, we always appreciate your perspective on the stories you bring and the news of the day. So thank you for making time for us. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday as part of the weekly news quiz.
Always a pleasure to speak with you, Dave. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.